So while we have in our mind the question of those in prison, and remembering those who find themselves imprisoned for whatever circumstance, by way of contrast, themes for our sermons during Lent will be all to do with freedom. It was back in the 1930s that President Roosevelt talked about fundamental freedoms. There's a sense in which we want to rediscover fundamental freedoms for people living in the 21st century. So over these next few weeks, we're going to explore certain fundamental freedoms that ought to be available to each and every one of us, wherever we are and whatever our circumstance. And so today we're thinking about freedom from indignity. Freedom from indignity. It's true, I think, that so much of who we are and what we are is defined for us. However much we might like to think we define ourselves, the world defines us in the way it wishes to. But at the heart of who we are is just that. Who we are. We are who we are, regardless of how the world views us, whatever the world makes of us. Regardless of any external factor, who we are is intrinsic to us. We have an identity, and that identity is ours regardless. No one can take that away from us, however hard they try. One of the most precious possessions we have is our identity. But just as important is the value that is attached to our identity. Not so much how much we are worth in the eyes of others, but most particularly, how much we regard ourselves worth to ourselves. How valuable are we in our own sight? How precious are we? What worth would we attach to ourselves? We have a value. We are a valuable and prized possession of ourselves, and we do well to remember that. That is our dignity. The value we attach to our identity is our dignity. Far too many people have been devalued by wider society, have allowed themselves to be devalued by wider society to such an extent that their dignity has all but been stripped away. Too many people have allowed the world at large to strip them of their dignity, denude them of their self-worth, deny them any sense of self-esteem. They have been dehumanized, even demonized. That's the way we treat people. And there's a sense in which the church is complicit in this. We have played our part over time and in the present in demonizing people. However bad a person is, do they deserve to be demonized? However awful a person's behavior, do they deserve to be dehumanized? However terrible the things a person may have done, have we the right to deny them any sense of self-esteem? Is not the most dangerous thing we can do to an individual is to take away their sense of self-worth. Without dignity, identity is erased. In its absence, men are defined not by themselves, but by their captors and the circumstances in which they are forced to live. Indeed, it's to the credit of so many that in spite of everything, they refuse to let go their grip on their dignity. Dignity is as essential to human life as water and food and oxygen. The stubborn retention of it, even in the face of extreme physical hardship, can hold a person's soul in their body long past the point at which the body should have surrendered it. And those words were written by a commentator reflecting on the experiences of women and men, prisoners of war, during the Second World War. when they came out of the camps. They talked to them about their experiences. And some spoke of being totally broken, their dignity totally removed from them. And others spoke of how hard they fought to hold on to their dignity, even in the face of all that was said and done to them. If you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus was at pains to remind his hearers that each one of them, whatever label might have been stuck on them by others, they had an essential self-worth, an essential dignity. The outcast and the sinner, the Samaritan, the woman, the leper, the person possessed by demons. All such as these met with Jesus, and Jesus was at pains to say to them, it doesn't matter how you appear in the eyes of others, you have a dignity which is yours, which cannot be taken from you. Why? Because your dignity is a gift of God's grace. It is a gift of God. It is that by which you are identifiable to God. God never loses sight of who people are. Each one of us is known to God individually by name. God will recognize each one of us personally. The mind of God has a capacity such as this. None of us is anonymous before God, because God has conferred on us an essential dignity reflected in our identity before God. We may struggle to remember names and faces. We may meet people and we have that initial embarrassment because we know who they are, or we think we do, but actually we struggle to recall a name. Not so with God. God knows us all by name. The identity conferred upon us gives us a dignity before God that even if others want to take it away, can't be taken away. Why? Because each of us is valuable to God. Each of us is worth something to God. And if we are worth something to God, we need to realize we are worth something to ourselves. Being worth something to God is the most valuable thing we can ever realize. If there's one Bible story that sums up this whole idea, it's the parable of the prodigal son. The young man who took his share of the inheritance and went away and squandered it in whatever way he did, to such an extent that he found himself doing the most menial of tasks. He imagined that his lifestyle had caused him to lose all sense of dignity, not just in his own eyes, but in the eyes of his father. And so when he comes to his senses, the young man says, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back home, but I can't go back and be as I was. I can't go back and be a son. I'm going to go back and be a servant. Perhaps, just perhaps, my dad will have me back in the house and let me work in the kitchens as a servant. Just perhaps. And that was the basis upon which he began his journey back. The lesson of the parable is each one of us is always and forever a child of God, however much we succumb to the temptation to allow ourselves to be devalued by others, to such an extent we believe we have devalued ourselves in the sight of God. The lesson of the parable is that once a child of God, always a child of God, always and forever valuable in God's sight, because in Christ we are accounted as worthy before God. We have imputed to us a self-worth that we would otherwise deny ourselves. That's the beauty of the story. The son comes home and wishes to be accepted as a servant, and the father says, nonsense. Nonsense. Once a son, always a son. You are welcome in this house as my son. Henry Nguyen has written this charming paragraph, putting words into the mouth of the prodigal. Although claiming my true identity as a child of God, I still live as though the God to whom I am returning demands an explanation. I still think about his love as conditional and about home as a place I am not yet fully sure of. While walking home, I keep entertaining doubts about whether I will be truly welcome when I get there. As I look at my spiritual journey, my long and fatiguing trip home, I see how full it is of guilt about the past and worries about the future. I realize my failures and know that I have lost the dignity of my sonship, but I am not yet able to fully believe that where my failings are great, grace is always greater. Still clinging to my sense of worthlessness, I project for myself a place far below that which belongs to the Son. We've all been there to a degree. We've all been in that place when we have that sense of what we've said or done disqualifies us from ever reclaiming the place we once had. The heart of the Christian gospel is forgiveness, loving forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you were. You will always be who you were in the sight of God. God is forever at the gate, wanting to welcome us home as his children. And if that's God's desire, then that ought to be the heart of the church. It doesn't matter what a person's done, who they were, they're welcome here. And they're welcome here as equals with us. None of us is more privileged than another to have a place in this congregation or any congregation. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. None of us is deserving of knowing ourselves to be children of God. We've denied that in ourselves, but God has allowed us to reclaim that place. Indeed, he's thrown a party whenever we come home. It's a lovely thought. Everyone has an intrinsic value arising out of their being a child of God. The essence of one's dignity, of one's self-worth. The realization that we are valuable to God. But that begs another question. What is value? How do we measure it? It's often been said that the cynic knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. All of us know what the price of this or that is, but just how valuable is it? You know? The price tag on your house changes from day to day. But does the value of it ever alter? We are more concerned with price than with value. God wants to flip that over and said it doesn't matter what the price is. Everything is equally valuable. Every person is equally valuable. We put a price tag on people. It's called a salary or a wage or a pension or a benefit. We put a price tag on people. This is what you're worth in cash terms. So-and-so is worth 20,000 a year, and so-and-so is worth 50,000 a year, and so-and-so is worth 250,000 a year, and so-and-so is just worth a few pounds to get by. Each one of those people is equally valuable before God and ought to be regarded as equally valuable in the eyes of each other. We should not allow the price tag we pin on people to be the means by which they see themselves devalued in the eyes of other people. And then there's the moral dilemmas that surface around this question of dignity. We're all caught up to a degree in conversations concerning dying with dignity. We kick into the long grass discussions we ought to be having about ensuring that people are enabled to live with dignity. All too easy to persuade older folk it would be best that they died with dignity rather sooner than they need to, because that doesn't cost much. It costs rather more to keep people alive in a dignified way in order that they might live their lives to their natural end. We need to think seriously about what we mean by living with dignity and not be so easily seduced by easy slogans such as dying with dignity. I've always found it something of an affront that the clinic in Switzerland is named Dignitas. The place you go to die, we call it Dignitas. I'm not sure. During Lent, as I say, we're thinking about people in prison. I don't know if you read Sunday papers, perhaps you shouldn't. Perhaps I shouldn't encourage you to. But if you're going to read a paper this Sunday, read The Observer. And read the report in The Observer today concerning the state of our prisons. I don't always use this language from the pulpit. Do you think it's right that people should have to defecate in front of other people? Do you? Because if you do, shame on you. But that's what we're making people do. Men today, three to a cell, having to defecate in front of other people without a screen. That's awful. And we wonder why people come out of prison as they do. We are forcing such conditions on people. We need to think seriously about what this all might mean. Someone wrote this: to lead by force, all you need is a greater army. But to lead by example, to be a city on a hill, you need an uncompromising respect for basic dignity. And you don't gain either of these things by breeding monsters in dungeons. You don't gain either of those things by breeding monsters in dungeons. The state of our prison estate in these days is tantamount to the breeding of monsters in dungeons. I want to finish by saying that I was thrilled that we as a church are prepared in principle to be at the service of those we call homeless, because being without a place to call home takes away so much more. To be homeless is to be denied the dignity that society demands of us. If you think about it, how often are we asked for our name and our address? People ask for our name and for our address. Because without an address, a name counts for nothing. The gospel demands of us nothing less than to campaign to ensure the right of each and all alike to be afforded the dignity they deserve. The sense of self-worth that is a basic human right, to be valued for who we are, just because we are who we are. All of us, everyone, is deserving of freedom from indignity.